If you would, try not to sit where the X's are. That's supposed to be our pastor, and Brother Ken went to Great Lakes to mark off the pew. So if there's an X behind you where you're sitting, could you move, adjust just a little bit so we can make sure we're all keeping our distancing correctly here. And I appreciate your cooperation on that. Family members can sit together, but you can't. Yeah, I would have got that question too, Jasper, so I would have. if you would, like I say, just don't sit in front of an X. And just a couple of other reminders, if you'll look on the back, the center door, exit door here, there's an X across it. So please try not to go through there and shove the table on the other side. You need to exit to the right and enter to the left. And we're trying to adhere to policy here because we've been asked, we've kind of got a little reminder from our Virginia government here just the last week or so. But I want to welcome everyone. And let me just read a few things here before Brian comes and gets started. I want to welcome, we're going to have our baccalaureate service this morning, recognize all the graduates at all the levels, both high school and college this morning. And let me take this mask off because my glasses fog up every time I start reading here. So I'm 6 foot from John, so we're okay. But just a couple of things. Again, just the number of active cases of COVID-19 in the area have risen this past week in the surrounding counties and cities. Norton had 4. Wise County had an increase to 36. Lee County had 17. And here in Scott County, we've had 11 new cases. So because of this, here at Thomas Village Baptist Church, we wanted to refresh everybody's understanding of the state regulations that we're supposed to be adhering to. It says the state of Virginia still feels that the best motto and practice is safer at home because we're continuing to strive to provide options as well as our Facebook Live, which we're still having quite a few people watch the services. And it's not mandatory, but you'll see some people wearing masks. So you're more than welcome to or not to, but they're just a suggestion. And then also, too, if you'll look out in the vestibule as you come in, we've got marks on the floor that are 6 foot apart. So try to adhere to those as best you can. And then hallways and then in the bathrooms, they're asking that there's no more than 2 people in the restrooms. So let's adhere to that best we can. Emergencies and young kids kind of cause that to be otherwise sometimes. So, but just if we can do that, and then just being considerate of others. Some people are more comfortable than others in shaking hands and hugging. So let's, you know, ask somebody before you jump up and grab them, hug them a little bit. So let's do that. And then the entrances are marked. So we're going to come in on my left and exit on the right. And then we still have sanitizer throughout the sanctuary and out in the vestibule area there as well. So you can sanitize your hands. And, let's just adhere to those rules. Like I say, we got reminded of them this past week by the state of Virginia. So if you would, just like I say, if there's an X there, move it over. Families can sit together. We're just trying to adhere to what we're being asked to do. As you all know, I travel, so I'll be wearing a mask here. I went through our home office is where I work for is located in Pennsylvania. They this week they banned 6 of the 5 states that I traveled through, so I can't go up there for 2 weeks. So I'll be wearing this mask. But if you would, let's just bow our head. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll start in with some music this morning. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can be here and come here freely and worship you. We thank you, Lord, for your protection and blessings upon us. And we just ask, Lord, this morning as Brian comes and delivers the message that you would just anoint him, Lord, and that you would use him in a mighty way. I thank you for those that are here this morning in our service, and we just ask you to bless them. We ask you to also bless those that will be watching on Facebook Live this morning. And, Lord, we're just thankful that we have these tools that we can continue to attend church and worship you, Lord. And as we found out through these times, Lord, that it's not about this building. It's about having a relationship with you. And we're just thankful, Lord, that you give us the means to continue to have your word go out into the community. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to have service here and then also broadcast into the parking lot and then also, again, on Facebook Live. And we just ask you to bless the words that they go out, Lord, and that people listen. that they hear and that they change their hearts, Lord. So again, we just thank you this morning for all that you've done. And as we begin this morning, we just ask you to bless our services. In Jesus' name and for his sake we do pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. As we enter in our worship service, we'll do a little bit of singing. Praise him, if you'll stand as we sing.
Say hello, and we're going to let you run, man. We're going to let you run. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see all of you. So thankful that you've made the effort to come out today, and I pray that you've been blessed already. I pray that you've come to give something to the Lord, but also to receive something for the Lord from the Lord. But I also know that there are those that are grieving the loss of loved ones, and we've been praying for y'all. Others are celebrating today, graduation, and today we're going to do our best within the bounds of COVID directions that we're going to celebrate our graduates today. But if nothing else, I want you to know that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let him today, he'll do even greater things. All right, God bless you. And brother, I'm going to ask you to come and lead us in. I thank God that I was able to first pray for Lord. I found my Bible and my phone. That's going to be a bad day right there.
All right, so at the, I guess we're going to exercise a little bit. If you want to stand, we're going to sing Worthy of Worship.
Worthy of worship. Today we would like to honor and introduce all of our 2020 graduates. We have some from high school and some from college. We're very proud of them and all of their accomplishments, and we just wanted to share them with you today. First of all, I think that we're going to show you a list of all of the Rye Cove High School graduates. These are their names, and you can look at those, and then Brother Brian will say a prayer over these kids. And we had a total of 45 kids that graduated this year. Of course, they didn't get their traditional graduation, but they got a graduation.
Amen.
And you know, we're thankful for that. It went well, and we just wish them the best of luck. And They had a little prom this weekend and graduation, and today they're going to be honored. So they've had a busy weekend.
I mean, I do want to say that it wasn't traditional. Yesterday we were privileged to be there. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. And I know that Gate City, they did a little bit different there as well. But I was very impressed by Rye Cove's leadership and the principal and all, Sister Susan and all the rest of the ones that were involved there. And I just want to say how proud of them we are. And then also we'll say more to our Thomas Village folks in just a second. But let's lift up all these names and let's go to the word of prayer for them. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for this day. Lord, I'm thankful that you're on the throne and that you're in control. And, Lord, that nothing has passed by or happened in this world
that you've not been in control of or that you've not allowed to happen. And God, we do, our hearts do go out to our Rock Oak seniors and others, Lord, as they have, I think about Lee County as well. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I just praise you that, and we ask you, Lord, that even though they didn't have what is considered to be a normal graduation, a normal senior year, Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray you do great things with them, Heavenly Father, Lord, knowing, Lord, that it wasn't by chance or accident that they went through it. And God, you've got a special road prepared for them. And God, I ask your blessings upon them, Heavenly Father, Lord. And I pray for each of them, God, that they find their identity in Christ Jesus and Him alone. And everything else will flow from that. But God, today as we celebrate this graduates, Lord, we just invite your Holy Spirit into our midst to lead us and guide us in wisdom and truth. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, I'm going to start out. Not everybody could be with us today, but we still wanted to honor them. And first of all, we'll start with Bailey Nash. He is the son of Rick and Tanya Nash. Rick is back in the sound room. Bailey graduated from Lee High School. Have they had a graduation, Rick? Lehigh, did they graduate? Okay. Bailey graduated with honors from Lehigh in June, and he plans to attend Mountain Empire Community College with a transfer to ETSU, and he will be majoring in pharmacy. That's his desire. So we're proud of Bailey, and I know his parents are. Maximus Miller, if he wants to come up with his mom. You can just stand right here in front if you want. Right there, yeah. Maximus is the son of Tabitha Miller and Adam Miller. And he graduated from Gate City, Friday? You had your graduation Friday. He loves music, and he's a self-taught drummer. And he is currently working, and his plans are sort of undecided right now as of college. So we wish him all of the best. And Tabitha, how many? You got three more to go?
Three more to go.
Three more to go. All right. Caleb Richardson, he could not be with us today, but Caleb graduated from Mountain Empire Community College in May with an Associate of Applied Science degree, Computer-Aided Drafting and Design Technology. He is working now, but he wants to maybe go on to school. He's sort of undecided, but we want to wish him well. We're sorry he could not be with us today.
Amen.
Next, we have Seth and Kayla Chambers, brother and sister. I know they had tried to be here today, but they had a lot of company in from out of town. And so Seth graduated yesterday from Rocco High School. He's the son of Wendy and Pete Chambers. And his plans are to attend Liberty University in the fall with a major in international relations and strategic intelligence. He wants to work with some kind of government. I guess he's going to follow in his daddy's footsteps. And he was a member of the Rocco High School Band, and he received several local scholarships there, and I'm glad scholarships this year, and I know his parents are tickled with that. So we wish Seth all of the best. His sister Kayla graduated from Liberty University in May with a Bachelor of Science in Exercise Science. She plans on getting her master's degree starting this fall. She is currently working at the New Jersey Spine and Joint Clinic, and her plans are to work with cardiac rehab patients. And she's also engaged to be married in the spring of 2021. So we are tickled that she's moving on in her next chapter. And it's Hannah Goins. Would you like to come up, Hannah?
Yes, she has to.
You can come up here and stand with me one more time. Hannah's the daughter of the late Russell Goins and Melinda Goins, and she graduated in May from Radford University with a Bachelor of Science in Interdisciplinary Studies with a minor in Education and Political Science. She's already been hired in the Scott County School System to teach and coach this fall. We're real proud of her. Okay, we are going to recognize Katie Bledsoe and Dakota Hartsock. They'd come up.
Hootie
hoot. Their parents are welcome to come up with them. Amen. Y'all can just stand right in the front here, so all of our Facebook friends can see you. Of course, we've called them up together because Dakota and Katie are a couple. We wanted them to be together. Yes. Everybody knows Katie. She is the daughter of Wayne and Tammy Bledsoe, and she graduated with honors yesterday from Rycove High School. She plans to attend Berea College this fall, where she plans to major in elementary education. She's always wanted to be a teacher. Ever since I've known her, she's always wanted to be an elementary teacher. She's taught kids here at the church, and that's just her calling, I think. She has been in the band for all the years, I guess, when you started sixth grade. And one special thing about Katie is she led the prayer group at school. Every Friday she'd be down there, ready to go, prepared, and a lot of times there was nobody, just Katie, but she was always prepared and ready to go. And, you know, a lot of times we did. Kathy was always most of the time there, and but we're thankful for Katie for doing that and carrying her Christian beliefs over into our school system, and it's sort of hard these days to be able to do that, so that we're proud of her for that. And she got several local scholarships as well. I know Mommy and Daddy are happy with that. She's worked really hard. We're proud of her, and we wish her all the best at Berea. Dakota Hartsaw. He graduated from Southwest Virginia Community College in May with an associate degree in engineering. He plans to attend Virginia Tech this fall to major in mechanical engineering. He is working this summer at Atlantic Pacific Safety and Rescue. And we're proud of him, and we wish him all the best in his future endeavors.
And thank you for reaching
out. Yeah. That wasn't in my notes. I think we got everybody, but we are proud of all of them, and I know you are too, and we wish them all the best. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Susan.
And we're sorry that it took us so long to get the secret out there that Dakota and Katie are a thing, in case you... I know nobody knew that, but... We do have some their names on a table with some baskets out there. If you have a card for them, you can drop it there in them. We would prefer to be doing as we would usually do, having the baccalaureate service for all of Rycove and being able to do that. But we're trying to make do with the situation that we're in. And we're just so thankful for each and every one of our graduates, not just the ones that are here with Thomas Village, but with our folks, with Amy being over in Lee County as well. We've got ties over there, and it's good to have y'all today. Thank you for y'all with us. But we're very proud of them, and we're looking for great things out of them. If I'm not mistaken, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 7 this morning. Matthew chapter 7. If I'm not mistaken, Katie, you were a freshman in high school when I came. You were in the middle of your freshman year. Because you're not fully mine yet, but I'm going to count you as being one of mine. But right now I do just want to stop, and I know we've had prayer over our, as you're turning to Matthew chapter 7, I know we've had prayer over the Rycove graduates, but I just want to lift up our folks specifically by name and have a word of prayer for them. Lord, right now we are thankful for Bailey and Maximus and Katie and Seth and Caleb and Dakota, Kayla and Hannah. God, we're thankful, Lord, for their commitment to these different endeavors that they've been in, Lord, and they've completed them no matter what has come and whatever's went through. God, you've brought them through it, and you gave them the ability. But, Lord, right now, Lord, knowing, God, that you have a plan and a purpose ahead of them, God, as we're reminded, Lord, that you have an expected end, is what you say over in Jeremiah. And so, God, today I pray that not only will you just let them see your hand at work, but, God, you'll give them the ability just to trust in you and to allow you, Heavenly Father, Lord, to lead them and guide them in truth. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Before we go on, as you're turning to Matthew chapter 7, we do just want to say it's good to have you here today. And then I also want to ask, do you have any praise reports today? Anybody got a praise report that you'd like to render this morning?
I
thought you might. You'll know that place by the back of your hand by the time you're done with it. But for those of you that may not can hear on Facebook, that's Sister Catherine Ward just giving praise to the Lord for a week. May not have started out the way if we expected it, but God is good and He brought good news. Also, I just want to give praise report. Brother Brian, he was working with machete this week and had ended up cutting his arm. And probably need to go to the doctor, maybe not this week, but he had cut himself real good with a machete, but praise God, he's healing up well, and we're thankful for that. And then Matthew celebrated him a birthday this week, so we just want to tell Matthew happy, happy birthday to him. Anyone else this morning? If I had a title for this morning's message, it would simply be Life Building. Life Building. And God willing, we're kindly going to focus on, you know, I'm not one that likes to be kindly pointed in the idea of a holiday or a specific given situation, but with it being graduation, the Lord put this scripture on my heart, and I want to talk to you about life building this morning. So if you would, stand with me in the honor of God's Word, Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24, and we'll begin there. Just a few short verses this morning. If you're in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which buildeth his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Life building, or building life, as we go to the Lord in the word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in the precious and wonderful name of Jesus, I'm very thankful to know, God, that you're in control. And Lord, it's not me who holds on to you today, but God, you hold on to me. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for your Son Jesus today. And God, it's in Him that we come before you. And by His blood and because of His actions that we're able to have this relationship today. And I do invite you, sweet person of the Holy Spirit, to come and breathe in this place, Lord, and to take your word and to move in our hearts and lives. And let us not just be hearers of the word, but God, let your word today cause a change in us that when we leave this place, that the truth of God will be evident in our life and that others may come to know you and that we'll live a better life for you. God, I'm thankful for those that are in the parking lot today, those that are on Facebook, and just as us in here, they have their own needs, they have their own situations, they have their own circumstances. But God, for the next few moments, Lord, I give to you my heart and my mind, and I ask you to take it today and to mold it and fashion it. Holy Spirit, speak, because only you can provide the wisdom that comes from above. And again, Lord, we're thankful for our students. We're thankful for our graduates. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As most of you know, whether you've been with us in person or in the parking lot or by Facebook, we're in the middle of a period where we're studying and taking looks at the life of Christ Jesus, some of the most well-known events, some of the miracles that he has done, and also the parables that he taught. So today, while it is the day that we here at Thomas Village Baptist Church have set aside to recognize and to honor the graduates, our graduates, we're still going to be looking at Jesus. And what better person to look at as you move from one portion of life, one station in life, to another station in life? Who better than to look at Jesus, the only one who lived a perfect life? And he is not only our Savior today. If we profess that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, not only is he the one that's secured our eternity, but he is to be our role model. Now, we can say we like Paul and we like Peter, and there's things in their life that we would like to have in our lives, but their ultimate goal was to be a reflection of Jesus Christ, which should be our ultimate goal today. As we are called Christian, imitators of Christ, our desire should not be to be like any other Christian or great man or woman of God. Our goal should be to live like Jesus, to be the embodiment of Jesus Christ here. Yesterday, as I said, Amy and I were privileged to be a part of Sister Katie Bledsoe's graduation and others. And like I said, she's special to us, as she was probably the first graduating class that we've been able to be with them through their high school life. But a few months ago, Sister Katie, I kindly stalked you on Facebook this week, okay? I went back and you asked, any advice for college freshmen? You remember putting that on there? Well, I didn't respond because my college freshman year didn't go that great, okay? So I didn't really put nothing out there about college freshmen or what to do or all that. Matter of fact, I laid off for a little while and went back later on. That was how my freshman year went. But there were many different pieces of advice. One of them was avoid 8 a.m. classes. Except for Sister Marty. Everybody hated 8 a.m. classes except for Sister Marty. She said she enjoyed 8 a.m. classes. Another was have plenty of snacks for study time. Make sure you have plenty of snacks for study time. But now, I did like this one from Sister Marty. She said make sure you have an afternoon nap time. Now, that one really fit in my thing. Make sure that you make friends within the same major. You know, that you have like-mindedness there, and you can go. Try not to stress over every assignment. Try not to stress over every assignment. And then there was another one, enjoy it. Enjoy it. But these I probably found were probably as helpful to me through college, not just my college freshman year, but all through college. The first one is know the syllabus. If you know the syllabus, you'll probably be okay if you know the syllabus. And then this was the best one of all of them, call your mama. Amen. I thought that was the number one, call your mama. Well, today, instead of me giving you advice, and I know you've heard speeches and you know you've heard all kinds of things, I want to kindly offer the high school graduates, our college graduates, but not only them, all of us today are at a point of change, whether it be from going to high school into college, going from one college to a deeper degree, moving from one job to another. We're in the marrying seasons, whether you're going from single to married. Maybe you're rebuilding from social disorder and rioting. Maybe just this COVID-19 and moving from phase 2 to phase 3, or going back from phase 3 into phase 2. There's a lot of change going on around us. And we need to learn how, in the midst of this, to adapt to these seasons of change. Because no matter the stage of life, whether you're a college graduate, a high school graduate, or maybe you're at the point where COVID is just really driving you crazy and you're looking around our country and you're not sure what direction it's going to go, at some point in our life, I believe at least one time in our life, and if you're like me, you've asked this multiple times in your life, what is the point in it all? What's the point in living?
What's the point in getting up every day and going to work or going to college or doing this and doing that only to know that at the end of life you're going to die and you're going to give somebody else all the stuff you've worked so hard for? And they're going to use it. What's the point? I think it was me and Sister Fleeta Wednesday night during service we're talking about. I don't see how people get out of bed every morning not having Jesus Christ on their side. But just to provide you a little bit of background, you've heard this parable before. It's one of those, again, like we said, whether if you only went to church probably when you was a little kid, you've probably heard this parable before. And it's the parable of the two builders, the one that built their house on the rock or on the foundation. And so when the storms came, the wind blew, the waves crashed, it was able to withstand the test and of nature and of time. But then also at the same time, there was another one who built on just the soil, just the earth. And when the winds came and the waters crashed, it was not able to stand the test of time. And so this is probably from one of the most well-known sermons that Christ ever preached, and that is the Sermon on the Mount, which in this, and I challenge you, I think, graduates, I think this would be a good one for you to read and to check up on, because in this sermon, beginning in Matthew 5 to the end of Matthew 7, Jesus deals with a lot of topics that we face in our lives. He deals with the issues of making promises and oaths or commitments there in chapter 5, verses 35 through 37. Then he deals with the issue of retaliation and revenge when someone does us wrong over in Matthew 5, 38 through 42. Then he goes on to talk about love, what it is, and how it is truly expressed over in verses 5, 43 through 48. Then he moves on, and we're going to talk about this in just a minute, but he begins to talk about what true wealth is in Matthew 6, verses 19 through 34. He deals with judgment and hypocrisy in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. And then there's the golden rule over in Matthew 7, verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want others to do to you, do also the same for them, for this is the law and the prophets. Jesus Christ confronts issues that I pray that none of you, nobody in this building will have to face. He deals with the issue of divorce. He deals with the issue of adultery. He deals with murder. And then the practices and other benefits for our life. He talks about prayer. He talks about fasting. He talks about charitable giving. But then not only here in the book of Matthew, but also in the book of Luke, you'll see that he preaches his sermon. And again, it's one of the most well-known. And again, it covers about three full chapters in the book of Matthew. This parable about the one who built on the rock and the one who built on the sand, this is how he chooses to close this sermon. And I don't think that's by chance or accident. I think he did that exactly on purpose, because in it, you see the way to build a life that is strong and successful, or in that you see the manner to build a life that is going to be a failure ultimately, no matter what the circumstances are. It'll be a failure. Listen how Luke says it over in Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? I will show you what someone is like who hears my words and then does not act on them. He is like a man that builds a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when the flood came, the river crashed against that house and could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The river crashed against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the destruction of that house was great." Now, more than any other graduating class, and those of us that are living in this time as well, in the last 40 to 50 years, we ought to know that, especially you graduates, you have recognized that life is not easy. Life doesn't always work out the way that it should. It's not always fair. And storms can pop up out of nowhere. School was going fine. Everything was going good. And then all of a sudden, everything's changed. And matter of fact, we don't even know what the new normal's going to look like yet. We ain't even got there. And no doubt some of you, just as I talked about asking what's the point, you've probably asked yourself as you've not been able to enjoy your senior ditch day and your prank day and all that. Every day was senior ditch day when I was a senior, buddy. We just, if I could get out of there, I would. But the senior prank day, and I'm glad you were able to have a prom, but I promise you, you've probably asked, why me? Why now? And you may even ask the point, what's the point, or ask the question, what's the point of it all? But you see, since March, there's some things that should have become very clear to us. A solid job and whatever could be considered a lifelong career can be over without warning, just like that. People were told to go home. We'll have you back in just a few days, and now they don't know if they'll ever go back to, and especially if they'll go back to that job. You can eat all the right things. You can be committed to a healthy lifestyle and physically do what the doctors tell you that you should do to be fit. But in a moment, a germ, a bacteria, a mass, or a doctor and his report can rob you of the future that you thought you were going to have here on earth. You could have what seemed to be enough money and financial security, and it'd all be gone overnight. A fine home, a car, a business can be taken away from you just because a group of people say that they don't think you ought to have that. And they'll come and take it from you. You see, what we see there is this. All those things that society has told us we had to have to be successful. All those things, money, job, home. You see, those are the things that we've been told. If we can get those things, then we'll be in a stable life, right? That everything will be all right. And most of the time, if things go normally, they would. But praise God, normal, I mean, any time the normal could go to the unnormal with the bat of an eye. So then no matter if you're graduating high school, college, no matter if we're trying to find our path in life, or no matter what age we are, if we're going to build a strong and successful life, the first thing we've got to understand and we've got to recognize, what is a successful life? What does it mean to be successful? Does it mean to have a large bank account? Does it mean to have a fine home? Does it mean to have a car? I want us to look at a successful life on display this morning. Back in Matthew, and I told you Jesus dealt with finances and success. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, Jesus says this, "Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust can destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, I pray that you, if you don't know anything about me as your pastor today, I pray you know this, that I believe 100% in this Bible, and I believe that there is only one name under heaven whereby men must be saved, and there is no salvation or eternal hope in anyone but Jesus Christ and Him alone. And praise God, it's not what we do, it's not how much we know, it's not how many verses of Scripture we can quote, but it is based on His love and His gift to us in Christ Jesus. It is a gift of faith and a gift of grace. But I want you to think about the life of Jesus Christ. Let's take away for the fact right now that He is the only true Savior and Lord. Even in this world, there are those that don't believe that Jesus is the only way, but they will agree with this and recognize that He was a great man. He was a loving man. He is a wonderful teacher and a leader of one of the world's most impactful groups, Christianity, that has ever been. His love and His message were so powerful and so great that even though it's been 2,000 years since He's passed on, what He did in His life continues on and will continue on for an eternity. But whether a group of people don't believe that Jesus Christ, they have to say that what He did, they have to say He was a success in what He did. Amen? Think about it. Today, there are millions upon millions of people gathering in His name, studying His Word, placing faith in Him. That's a successful man. But listen what he said. Luke chapter 9, verses 5 through 8. He said, And Jesus said to them, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." From what we know about Christ, he really didn't have a permanent address. He didn't have a bank account. He didn't have a fine home. We don't know of him having a closet filled with changes of clothes and different pairs of flip-flops. We know that when he died as a criminal and had to be buried in a borrowed tomb that day. You know what we'd call that today? A bum. We call that a bum and a failure. But yet history and all of eternity will declare that Jesus in his life is a success. Why? How? How could this man that died with criminals, didn't have a home, didn't have an address, didn't have a bank account, how could he now be deemed a success? Because Jesus Christ knew and lived out what we just talked about. He recognized that health can be gone in a moment. He understood that wealth is fleeting and brings no security or peace. He knows that people will like you today and dislike you tomorrow, and they'll change with the changing of the tide. Nothing about life on this earth is certain but birth and death. That's all. That's it. You see, Christ Jesus also lived out two specific truths. In Matthew 22, verses 3 through 4, it says, "When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they came together, and one of them, an expert in the law, asked a question to test Jesus, and said, Teacher, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said to the expert in the law, 'Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the greatest and most important of commands. The second is like to it, love your neighbor as yourself,' because all of the law and all of the prophets depend on these two commands." When you look at the entirety of the life of Christ Jesus, number one, he displayed this truth and allowed it to dictate his life. With everything that he was from an early age, we know at least from the age of about 11 or 12 on up till he died and rose again on the cross, he did not live his life for himself. He did not live his life for his mama. He did not live his life to please those around him. He lived his life to bring glory and honor to the Creator and only true God. He said, "I live my life not for myself. The words that I say, they're not for my own doing. I don't even heal you for your sake, but I do it all so that the Lord may be glorified." If we want to build a successful life today, then we've got to recognize that a successful life is a life that honors God. Bottom line, whether you're in the biggest towers in New York or whether you're working in a nursing home, if you put that first in your life, then odds are at the end of your life when they gather around your tomb, they're going to say, no matter the money, no matter the wealth, no matter the clout, they'll be able to say his life or her life was a success. Why? Because he or she, graduate, he or she, mom and daddy, he or she, church member, put God first in their lives. See, if we're going to build a life today, if we're going to have a successful life, we can look at the life of Jesus. Did he have worldly success? Fine clothes, big homes and money? Nope. But praise God, even today, those that may not believe in him can say he was a success. Why? Because God was first in his life. With every bit of who he was, you know, he says mind, body, and soul. You know, see, that way everything's equal. You know, I'm not as smart as you. I may not be as strong as you. I may not have the same ability to earn as you. But if both of us are committed to loving him with all of who we are, then we're on the same playing field. And that's all he asks, ain't it? Hey, with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your body and all your soul, love the Lord today with all of who you are. But I want you to notice the next thing. And remember, he said these are the two greatest commandments, but not only did he give them lip service, but we see them lived out in his life. He said the next thing is this: love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Think about the life of Jesus Christ. Even if we take away the death on the cross, which is the most selfless thing that any man would ever do, the Bible tells us that there is no greater love than for one to lay down his life for another. But let's take that away and let's look at the life of Jesus. Jesus in his life displayed his love for the average Joe and the average Jane. It didn't matter. He said whosoever. He didn't care what nationality they were, what race they were, if they had money or if they didn't have money. He loved his neighbor. And who did he consider his neighbor? Whoever was right there in front of him at the time. If you think about it, remember the widow woman who all she had was her son, and her son died, and they were having the funeral procession coming through town. Jesus got there and he saw a need. What did he do? He took the time to raise her son up from the dead. He loved her enough to put himself in her life. Then think about the Roman soldier. Not a Jew. That's a Gentile, just like the Samaritans, lowly. But what did he say? He healed the servant of the Roman soldier. And then there's the woman who had the issue of blood. There's blind Bartimaeus. There's the 10 lepers that came to him and everything. Love the Lord your God with all your being. And we see that in the life of Jesus. But also with a very close second, he loved his neighbor as he wanted to be loved. Really and truly, he loved us more than he loved himself. Matter of fact, we know how it says in John 3:16, where it says that God so loved the world, or God agape'd the world. Jesus lived it out by putting himself in harm's way so that we could be benefited, so that we could receive the blessing. So we see today, as we think about building a life, when we look at the life of Jesus, our society defines success in one way. And you know what? If you choose to define success in fine homes, clothing, and money, and all that, you know what? It's a roll of the dice whether you're going to find success. You might. And guess what? You might not. But even if you do, there's no promise that you're going to find joy in it. But if you live the life pattern after Jesus Christ and define success as he was defining it, love the Lord your God with all your being, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, it don't matter if you're the CEO of a multi-billion-dollar corporation or whether your path has been called to be a stay-at-home parent. Guess what? You're going to be a success. You're going to be a success. Why? Because God defines success different from how we would define success. And so we see a successful life lived out. Y'all going to get out here early today. I'm going to spoil the stew out of y'all today. But the second thing and the last thing I want us to look at is this. How to build a successful life. How to build a successful life. Look right here in the verses we read in Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock, and every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat up on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Again, graduating class of 2019 through 2020, you've seen how the storms of life can come. But I want you to look at this passage. Because what it's saying is, no doubt storms of life are going to come. I don't care how much you got born with a spoon in your mouth. Sooner or later, probably sooner, you're going to face the storms of life. And even look, I want you to notice something about the rich man, the foolish man. Now, the wise man, it says that the storm came and the waves blew and crashed against him. But over in the book of Luke, it just simply says that the river crashed up against him. It didn't say that it was a storm. Now, maybe we ought to assume it, but the scripture flatly says in Luke chapter 6, verses 49, it says, but the one who hears and does not act like the man who built his house upon the ground without a foundation, the river crashed against it, and immediately it collapsed. Just the daily flow of life's issues ultimately took that house down. Ultimately took the house down. Now remember, parables are earthly stories that disclose spiritual, heavenly, and eternal truths. So Christ is not speaking here in this passage of a literal brick and mortar house that we're to stay in. The house here is the individual's life. It's talking ultimately about our physical life and our eternal life, if you want to get deeper into it. And the main difference between these two houses in this parable, it's not the ability of the men to build. It's not the quality of the stuff that they used to build. It was where they began to build upon. Notice, the one built upon the foundation, which Scriptures declares to be a rock, over in Matthew 7:24. The other built upon sand, dirt, and soil. We're told that 70% of the earth is covered by water. Well, that means the rest of it is covered by some type of dirt or soil or whatever. Basically, earth. Basically, he built his things on this world. He was dependent upon the dirt or the things of this world to hold his house upright. And when the storms came, there was no ability. Like we just talked about, the successful job, the careers, all that stuff. You can build upon that, but you know what? Ultimately, just the daily flow of life, because he is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Just the daily flow of this life is going to corrode those earthly foundations, and the fall or the ruin of it will be great. But the one who built his house upon the rock, his was able to stand up against the test of nature, the storms that come through, the waves that crashed, the time that it stood, all of it, it was able to prove itself through it all. So what is the rock? What is the foundation? When building a home or any structure, there has to be a place of strong, settled, and unmovable footing to start building upon. Because you see, that makes sure that the building is secure. And that not only when the winds blow, but just the fact that as it gets older and older, it's still going to be able to stand in the midst of everything that's coming and going. And in the spiritual sense, God has promised that for whosoever, there is a foundation today. There is a rock. Isaiah 28 verse 16, we are told of the coming of that rock. Listen to what it says. Therefore the Lord said, look, I have laid in Zion a tested stone. Now we know what is Zion. Zion is another name for the Jerusalem, for the city or for the capital of Israel. He goes on to say that that tested stone is a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and the one who believes on this stone will be unshakable. God says, I'm going to send to you a rock that will not be moved, a cornerstone. The cornerstone is the foundational stone. And he's saying it's going to come out of Jerusalem. Praise God. Jesus marched into Jerusalem, the sacrificial lamb, but on the third day, he rose up in Jerusalem as the victor over death, hell, and the grave. And he is that rock that says if we're built upon that rock, then we are unshakable. We are successful not because of what we've done, but because of what he has done. The Apostle Paul over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 declares in verses 10 through 11, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I have laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's saying, hey, there's only one foundation. Remember we said, I believe and I pray today that you can say the same, that there's only one name under heaven given whereby men must be saved. It doesn't matter whatever else you believe. Nothing is going to hold you up like Christ Jesus will hold you up throughout the rest of your life. Jesus, over in Mark chapter 12, verses 10 through 11, Jesus said, have you not read the scripture, the stone that the builders rejected have become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing. It is a marvelous in our eyes. But here's something that gets me. There's people that say Jesus never professed to be the Lord and the Savior. He never professed to be God. Read right there in this parable. What did he say? He says, those of you who do not listen to what I say and don't put into practice what I've told you, you're foolish. Why should we listen to him? Because he is the God-man. He is the Savior that came down from glory. In all of the other religions you'll never see, God is always standoffish or above. But we have a God that disrobed himself of his deity so that he could robe himself in our humanity. And our God came not to stand above creation, but to be a part of the creation that he created so that he could provide to us eternal life. So how does a person build on their lives on this rock? I'm going to fill you in on a secret today. And this secret is even done by those with the best of intentions. No matter where you go in life and no matter who you are, people, organization, and this world are going to try to label you and try to tell you who you are. They're going to try to give you an identity. And even a lot are going to be a good meaning. This began on the day that you were born. When you were born, you were given the name, and for years and years, and in some circles, it will forever be that you're so-and-so's daughter or you're so-and-so's son, maybe, but at least daughter and son. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That's just the way it is. Hey, as the pastor of Thomas Village Baptist Church, it is my hope and my prayer that God is leading you to become a member of Thomas Village, so that when anybody asks who you are, where you go to church, you're going to say, I'm a proud member of Thomas Village Baptist Church. At graduation yesterday, I heard one that I truly loved, and I think it was well stated, and I think it was about as good as I've ever heard. But Principal Stapleton said this, no matter if you go from here all the way, I think he said, to San Diego. He said, no matter if you go from here all the way to San Diego, you'll always be a Rye Cove Eagle, and the Cove will always welcome you home. Now see, I'm a Pierce County Bear, but right then I wanted to be an eagle, so I could come into the Cove. But you see what I'm saying? The identity and the labels, it's just done without thinking. You know what? When you go off to college, you're going to become a flame, a mountaineer, a hokey bird, or even a bulldog. And then in your career, you're going to be director over this, salesman over that, chairman of blah, blah, blah. And as time goes on, you're going to become so-and-so spouse. You're going to become such-and-such as mom and daddy. You see? But none of these are bad. None of these are terrible. Now, there are some today that are bad. But there's going to come a time in your life where no matter what the title that's been placed on you, chairman of the board, whatever, it's going to come a day where you were former chairman of the board. You were ex. You know, that title really ain't going to do you no good no more. There's going to come a time when your titles will have no meaning in your life. There'll come a day when all those identities that society and people have tried to place on you will be of no value and of no worth. But listen at this. John 6:35-37. I am the bread of life, said Christ. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. But as I have told you, and those that have seen me, and yet you do not believe, but everyone the Father gives to me, and the one that comes to me, I will never cast them aside. You know what? When you get the identity of child of God, follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, when that identity becomes on your life, the Bible says that no one will ever take that identity away from you. Romans 8:38-39, for I'm sure that neither death nor hell, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor power, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we find our identity in Christ Jesus, not only does it follow us through the rest of this life, but it establishes us from the end of life throughout all of eternity today. And praise God, that's how to build a successful life. That's how to define success. When you are identified in Christ, you know what? You're a child of the King of Kings. You're a prince of the coming Lord and Savior. You are more than a conqueror than Him, than those who are coming against you today. You see, when you are identified in Christ, then I'm a Christian who happens to be married to Amy. I'm a Christian who happens to be pastor of Thomas Village. I'm a Christian who happens to be father to Talmadge and to Maddie. I'm a Christian who happens to be a carpenter. Everything that I am flows from my identity in Christ. And when you're able to do that, no matter what life throws at you, you're a success. Why? Because your Savior's a success. They tried to stop Him here on earth. What'd He do? He rose back up from the grave on 3 days. Rose back up from the grave 3 days later. Praise God. They try to say today that He's not in charge or He's not in control. Well, I don't think it's going to be very long that He's going to split the eastern sky and say, guess what? I'm back. You tried to hold me down. You know what? The more they try to shut Him up and to shut us up, the greater it is. It is proven that in the greatest times of persecution on the church, it says that the blood of the martyrs is water to the seed of the gospel, that it just grows more and more. And so today, here's my advice, graduates. This is the same advice I tell myself. This is the same advice I tell to my children. If anybody would walk in here today and they wanted to know how to have a successful life, I'd begin by saying, what do you define success as? How do you define success? Because you see, the Creator don't define success as the world defines success. And today I can tell you, He promises success to whosoever will come to Him today. Oh, does that mean? No, you might be poor and dirt. You may never have a house that's your own. You might have to be buried in a borrowed grave. But you too, like he, will one day say, I didn't need it for long. Because you know what? I find my identity in him. And the Bible tells me this, that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And you know what? He came to this earth and went through all that he went through so that I could have a residence with him for eternity. Not only a resident, but it basically says I'm going to live in his house. You know, Jesus loves you that much today. He came here and died for you. Because he wants you to have eternal life. But not only that, he came and did all that so that forever you will be in his community. Isn't that awesome? You're going to get your mansion. You're going to walk on streets paved as gold. That's why we don't have to work so hard for things down here. All we got to do is work for him on this place. In closing, class of 2019-2020. I want you to know this has been anything but an average year. But you know what that tells me about you? You're more than your average graduate. God's got something special for you. For such a time as this, you could be the generation that helps lead America back to where it needs to be. For the Lord. You could be the generation maybe we won't see America brought back, but you could lead the revival. But see, you've got to decide how you're going to define success. And if you'll define it by loving God with all you are, loving your neighbor, basically if you'll just say, I choose today to be identified in Christ in everything that I do, then not based on my words, but based on Scripture, you will be successful. But you see, today it's not only for them. The Bible says whosoever, maybe you're in your 20s and you're just getting started. Maybe you're in your 40s and life's okay. Maybe you're in your 40s and things really have just been thrown all over through everything that's going on right now. Maybe it's not through thing. Maybe you just made some bad decisions. You know what today? You can't worry about what happened back then. You can't even worry about tomorrow, yesterday. All you can do is pick up where you're at and say, right now, by faith in Christ Jesus, I choose to be identified in Him. And I want the success He offers instead of what the world offers today. Maybe there's been a time in your life, and you know, I talk to people a lot and I ask them, I say, have you ever been saved? Well, there was a time I walked the aisle. I don't care about what you did. If you died today, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? I think inside, if you truly ask that question, you'll get the answer. And if you don't know today, I challenge you, and the Holy Spirit's moving, I challenge you to come and let me show you what Scripture says about how you can have eternal life. Maybe you know that, yes, I am saved. I surrendered to Christ. I felt the Spirit call me. It just wasn't some get-out-of-hell-free card or nothing like that. But I meant what I said, but I've allowed myself to be defined by my friends. Allowed myself to be defined by my job. I've let my family define me. But I know I need to come back and be defined by a child of the King. Maybe today you need to come become a member of Thomas Village Baptist Church. But whatever your need is, I'm going to ask Sister Nancy if she would to come forward and our song director, Brother Gary, to come forward. And we're going to sing one verse, and if God's leading you to come forward, you come.